stretch run of Grant and Danny. Danny is on vacay ahead of the new year. Grant Paulson with you alongside Linnell Willingham today. And you are locked into the Fan for our final show of 2024. And it's a memorable one. The Commanders are headed to the playoffs. And for the first time since 91, they've won 11 games. I was probably like watching the Ninja Turtles. Then probably was like, Mom, come change my diaper. And, you know, I don't know what else would have happened.
Is that how much of a child prodigy you are that at 2 years old you were saying, come change me? Like, that's impressive stuff to have the wherewithal.
That just tells you you don't have a kid. Kids start talking at, like, one, bro.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so eventually they're not old enough to, like, go to the bathroom and or change themselves. Uh-huh. So they ask you to do it.
Wow.
That's 2 years old right there, wow, man. You'll find out.
I'm about to say.
You'll get to
hopefully
know.
Hopefully later. Rather than
don't you worry about that. Right now, though, I want to go to the guest hotline because we've got to welcome onto the show our guy, Austin Eckler, Trusted Insight from a Trusted Insider. This segment is presented by our friends at IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin, you're headed to the playoffs, man. What a win. Congrats. How fun was last night?
What's up, Austin?
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was great. You know, I actually kind of liked those tips you were giving there. Kind of like, so I don't have the kids either, so, you know, if you have more things you want to, you know, make us aware of, you know, I'm all for it. But
hey, you'll find out in due time. You're a married man now.
I am indeed. I am indeed. Yes, in due time. But no, back to the topic anyway. Yeah, great moment for us last night. Getting the win in Sunday night football. It's always a great time in primetime games. And, you know, for that game for us, did a lot more than just get us the win, right? Got us a spot in the big dance here coming up. And I know we're looking forward to this next game versus Dallas, and then we'll be on to the playoff picture.
Austin, take us inside the locker room last night, man. Seeing some of the clips on social media, there was so much going on outside of the game. Jeremy Reeves proposing to his now fiance, Josh Harris getting the game ball on his
hold
birthday.
Hold on, let's just ask him about that.
Yeah, because that was
boy Revo gets engaged right on the field, and all the teammates mob him. How about that story?
That was awesome.
Yeah, man. So some pretty incredible moments all around last night. So that's definitely one of the special ones to come out of that. You know, I haven't asked him though, but I wonder if we lose if he does that still. That's a question.
I don't think he would.
Probably not, yeah. But
how could you?
Probably like, not.
You're just going to be in a bad mood and, like,
yep,
call her down. She comes down on the field. I guess you just have to do it at, like, dinner this week or something.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the scenario, so, you know, I'm glad for Revo.
As Kanye West once said, I guess we'll never know.
Nah.
Hey, there it is. But no, yeah, a lot of great stuff happening, you know, for our teammates and then the city as well. And I got to give a shout out to the fans and everyone that's been supporting, because last night it felt like in a playoff environment. Like, that's what it felt like last night. Just really intense football going on. The crowd was very on top of it, into it, standing the whole game. Probably the loudest I've ever heard it in there. So, man, it's been great just kind of building this culture and, you know, bringing some new energy to Washington football.
Austin, your story is tremendous. Obviously an undrafted guy. At this stage in your career, leadership is, I know, something that's probably huge for you and you take pride in it. What have been your messaging to Chris Rodriguez this year, who's been up on the active roster, back on the practice squad, kind of bouncing back and forth, and then last night coming up huge, breaking a big-time tackle to get into the end zone? How proud of you are him, and what's been some of your words of advice to keep him prepared for the moment, man?
Yeah, I think leadership is something that needs to be done in the appropriate doses from the appropriate people. And for myself, what I give to Chris is very simple. You know, it's one of those things along the lines of, it's kind of cliche, but it matters for people to hear, is you don't have to be Superman. Be yourself. You know, you're a good player. Because I think especially in positions where we get brought up in a position where we're getting an opportunity, maybe that we haven't had in the past, and Chris has had a few here and there, and he's always risen to the occasion. And so, hey, don't go out there and press. Play the way you like to play. Play the way you play. And guess what? You know, your preparation and your strength and everything that you've been doing this offseason, during the season, will come to fruition for you. And that's exactly what's been happening for him. So, so proud of him. Just going over there, I'm getting him hype on the sideline just because I'm, like I said, so proud of him. You know, I'm reenacting his plays. Like, man, this is what you did. You broke all these tackles, man. That was sick. Just keeping his confidence high. That's what I like to do. It's not necessarily a thing that you say to him, but an energy that you give to him. And when you can give people confidence, I think it really helps them feel like, okay, they can glow, like they're doing it, like they believe more in now what they've proven. And so that's what I've been giving to Chris over these past few weeks.
Austin Eckler, presented by IT Cadre on Grant and Danny's weekly appointment. We don't have a show tomorrow, so he's joining us on this Monday here in the stretch run of our Victory Monday program. Austin, what about the final drive in overtime? You guys are lucky enough to win the coin toss. You go 12 plays, 70 yards. Jaden either completes a pass or runs on 11 of those plays, went 6 for 42 on the ground, 5 of 5 for 30 yards through the air. What'd you think of just that clinic in overtime?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of seeing, you know, a superstar be born right in front of our eyes here. And it's really awesome to be proud of, or to be a part of, I should say. And just super proud of Jaden. And every time he's out there making plays, I'm just like, man, this guy is an absolute dog. Like, he gets it done in times where, hey, it's all or nothing. He's showing up. He's using his legs. He's making the throws. And it's so special to be around. And, you know, it's one of those things where you really don't know how it's going to play out with the rookie quarterback, but I think Jaden has surpassed many expectations, you know, to the public eye anyway. And so it's one of these special moments that, you know, you don't really get too often. I kind of had one with Justin Herbert as well as my other quarterback that kind of came into the scene. So I've been pretty lucky with my quarterback so far.
Shoot, if I'm ever drafting a quarterback, I'm signing you first.
You're the common denominator, brother.
For sure. Hey, I've been on some good teams with some good quarterbacks, some young guys anyway. So it's been awesome. You know, my career's been blessed in that category.
100%. Austin, the one thing I want to know is, like, obviously when you were making your free agency decisions this spring, you had a lot of different options, pretty highly sought after guy, considering what you've done in your career to this point. You signed here in Washington. At what point did you go, wow, we could be something special here, man?
Well, you start looking around and you start seeing, like, dang, there's a lot of guys that were not here last year. So that's one thing I noticed right away. And it actually turned out to be a blessing, I think. One, because it was a lot of guys that didn't have, like, kind of established relationships yet. So a lot of us have been able to really bond and, you know, get into a new culture and buy into a new culture because it wasn't established anything here with coaches or players that were here. And then two, started looking around and we got a lot of, like, guys that have been around, done some good things on good teams, maybe later in their careers, but still know the game, can play at a good, consistent level, can bring some leadership, can buy into a culture. And so that is been one of the key things that I think has really helped us put ourselves over the top as far as a culture standpoint. You know, obviously Jaden going crazy and our defense stepping up has obviously helped, but I think it's part of the result of what we've been able to put together as far as the chemistry of our team and our coaching staff. And, you know, shout out to Josh Harris. And Josh Harris. Thanks. And, you know, Adam Peters putting ourselves together, because it's been a great ride.
Austin, every time we've talked to you earlier in the season, you know, it was just kind of a possibility that you guys would play in the playoffs. And you've been trying to work your way back to maybe be able to play if that were to be the case. Do you anticipate being able to go in a playoff game?
Hey, man, like, this is one category it's tough to talk about just because you don't want to say something and something else happens. So it's kind of a week-to-week thing, unfortunately, right now is all I can really say on it, just so I can be in alignment with what is out there in the public. But my hope is, yeah, that I can get back and make some more contributions to this team, hopefully soon.
I totally understand, because as you said, first of all, you probably don't even know really what's going to happen a couple weeks from now. But I guess there is a difference between you've shut it down for the season or you just don't think you're going to get back, or there's still a possibility and you're still working toward that. And that's why I asked.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And then, you know, there's a lot of boxes that need to be checked with our concussion protocol and things like that. And, you know, there's some independence that have to be put involved in that process. So you just don't really know. Like, you can check all the boxes, feel fine, but you got to make sure that independent also is taking their time to do their due diligence and they also feel comfortable with you getting back on the field. And so that's something that's out of my control. So that's it's a process, and that's the one I'm going to be going through, and that will tell me when I'm able to, you know, get back on the field.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You are eligible, at least by the rules, to be back this weekend against Dallas, but it sounds like you still have all of those hurdles you're still trying to clear, yeah?
I wouldn't say all of those hurdles. I mean, there's hurdles that have definitely been cleared. I've been recovering. But yes, this is the first week that I'm eligible to come back. Absolutely.
For sure. Hoping to have you out there sooner rather than later. I know the team could use you for the stretch run. I know you're eager to get back out there.
No doubt.
Big picture as a running back, when you see what Saquon Barkley is doing and he's on the cusp of breaking Eric Dickerson's single season rush record. One, how cool is it to see another running back doing that? And then the storyline of, Austin, I don't know if you know this, Philadelphia finishes against the Giants in Week 18. How cool do you think that would be for Saquon to break that record against his former squad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what an incredible story. You know, and I'm so glad that they, you know, have the clips of their GM talking about how, well, who's going to pay this guy and all that stuff. What a joke, first of all.
Yeah.
What an absolute joke. Look, if you have... I get it. Like, there's running backs. There's people at every position that are, like, okay players. You're not going to pay those people. But the people that are at the top of the game deserve to reset the market. And they deserve to reset the market because they are impact player. I'm not saying every running back or every player is an impact player. But you push the envelope. You push the money towards the people that impact the game at a very high level, regardless of the position. So for them to sit there in that room and say, well, we don't think anyone's going to pay him, is an absolute joke in my opinion. And I'm glad that he's doing it. I hope he goes and crushes the record and actually blows it out of the water, you know, against him. So that's my stance.
Only 100 yards away and against the former team, to your point, with that video out there. And we're only privy to that because of Hard Knocks. Like, you wonder how many conversations, like, that's what they were willing to say on camera.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't want to get into it because I don't want to put myself put a target on my back. But I think
your animus probably comes from, like, there is just this disrespect of the running back position and pay scale. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'd imagine that's a factor with you being a running back.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think about it today, Austin. I just looked this up, actually. So I'll throw these numbers at you, and I want you to kind of continue. But the last several years, there have been about 4 and 5 players a year that rush for 1,000 yards. This year, right now, there's 14, and there's another 4, Joe Mixon, Chase Brown, James Cook, and Alvin Kamara, who are all over 950 with a week to go. Like, we could have 18 or more backs run for 1,000 this year when we've basically averaged 5 over the last several years.
Yeah, and so, look, you're talking of, again, I'm talking importance of impact players. You know, and there's a lot of impact players out there at every single position. And what do you usually typically see with impact players? Well, you see some type of push of money going into that category or into those people's and into their pockets because they are an impact player. But for a position to get put down because of the position, not because of the impact of the player, is backwards in my mind. I think you should pay your impact players regardless of what position they play because they make a big impact on the game, not because, well, this is a running back. Oh, we shouldn't pay him, and actually we can get him cheaper because of that, not take into account your impact of the game. So, you know, you even look at, I think Derrick Henry got caught into that. Like, this man has been on top of the rushing game for how long, and he signs an $8 million contract, like $8 million for Derrick Henry, for a guy who's going to be the top, who's always been consistent at, you know, these past few years being at the top of the league in rushing. Just a disgrace, in my opinion, and kind of really a backwards methodology of valuation of players, if you want my opinion. So
Austin,
glad
Ackler,
that Saquon's setting the new bar, and I think it's just up for more guys to continue to play at a high level, and I think it's just due time that we're going to get what we deserve.
Sorry for cutting you off there. And Grant and Danny with us on the Fan. IT Cadre, question of the week, and you can see why we love having Austin on. He's passionate, he's got opinions, and he's got great insight and can kind of say it in a way that's relatable to those of us outside the league. One question I've got here that I like from Nolan for our IT Cadre Fan question of the week. He says, who is the best jokester or prankster in the locker room? You can take that wherever you want to.
we got a lot of personalities in the locker room. What comes with that is a lot of people that have their own sense of humor in their own way. We have this guy, I think he's on practice squad right now, or maybe he's just a bubble guy for us. His name's just Hefe, but he is the one who is always cracking jokes. I'm more of like a dad joke, dry humor, tap you on the opposite shoulder, make you look that way, gotcha type of humor. So, like, you know, we got a bunch of different humors in our locker room. But I'll say I'm part of that conversation for sure for those that are kind of closer to me. And it's kind of people. There's so many of us, so you don't get the humor that goes across like a whole 75 of us. It's kind of in pockets. And so I'm sure there's some other funny guys on the team that I'm just not aware of because I'm just kind of not in their section of the team right now. But, no, it's a good time.
Well,
we have a good time.
So was the interview. So was the entire time chatting with you all season long. We look forward to another one next week and hopefully a run deep into the playoffs watching you on the field. Austin, thank you so much.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Austin.
You. And keep getting healthy.
Heck yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks, boys. You guys have a good night.
You got it. Holiday. There's Austin Ekeler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Austin trying to get back. His first game he's eligible for is the Cowboys. But, frankly, I don't need him for the Cowboys.
Right.
You've already clinched. There's really no reason for him to play in this game at all.
I
need him for the playoffs and for the Rams if he can get back. So that's got to be, not to put words in anybody's mouth, the plan here has got to be, all right, you've got a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Let's see if we can get you back 2 weeks from now for a playoff game against the Rams.
And I don't want to speculate too much, but just based off of like his tone and demeanor, it seems like, you know, he's progressing. I don't know if he's exactly where he expected to be maybe at this point, but like you said, it's not about Sunday. It's about a potential postseason run for Austin. And I think if they can get him back, obviously, you know, huge benefit for Washington in the offense.
So this is sheer speculation. Mm-hmm. I want to say that right out front. We don't know anything. We heard what you guys just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he plays in the playoffs?
If I'm being honest, no. It sounded like in the first playoff game, if they win one, maybe it gives you more of a chance. But he just sounded like someone that, you know, is kind of, you know, the process is tedious going through that impact stuff. And he, you know, it's a lot to do. So
I agree.
I don't know.
I say no. To me, there's a couple ways you can answer it. And I think if you're hell-bent on either getting back, being back, or just like far enough along now where you know you're going to be back,
yeah.
I think you say, yeah, I expect to play, or I'm doing everything, you know, the plan is that I'll be out there. And he kind of at one point said that, but it was a lot more about the independent doctors. It's out of my hand. It's got to be frustrating for him. Because it isn't necessarily just his decision either.
Right.
But I would say...
This is the second one of the season.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And both were scary.
Yeah.
The first one was bad. The second one was worse.
Yeah, and I think the one, you know, kind of period in that interview that got me was he was like, well, it's not all the hurdles. It's not all the hurdles that I have to clear. And I think that was room for, I'm not as far away as you're making it seem, but I still have a little ways to go is kind of how
he listed several things that need to happen.
Right.
And I was like, so all of those things need to happen. He's like, well, some of them might have already happened. Okay.
Take your word for it. Yeah.
All right, let's get to Don't Forget About before we say goodbye on this Victory Monday. Linnell in for Danny, G&D on The Fan, couple of minutes left, and then overtime with Toby Altizer. We call it Tobertime. Don't forget, the Commanders haven't been an 11-win team since 91, and that shouldn't be taken for granted today. Yeah. Don't forget, they are a playoff team. They will get a playoff game, likely in Los Angeles, possibly in Philadelphia. They'll be traveling a couple of weekends from now. And don't forget, they finished the season 7-2 at home with thrilling wins the last 2 weeks against the Eagles and the Falcons. One was a true walk-off, the other a near walk-off. They had a Hail Mary win at home. They had 320-plus wins at home as well. Just an amazing home slate in front of the locals and season ticket holders.
Awesome. Don't forget about old big number 93, Virginia native John Allen. I thought he had a couple of nice pressures in his limited action last night. One of them leads to a Dorrance Armstrong sack. Like he was, or Dante Fowler sack, I believe. That was a strip sack, I believe, that he pressured him. That John Allen's pressure caused that. I think he's going to be key for the stretch run, and the more snaps he gets, I think the better the defense is. I know some folks are going to say, well, early on in the season when the run defense was bad, he was playing a lot of snaps. It's different. They've changed things, and I think he'll be an impact player down the stretch.
And Allen pressure in the second half, the Dorrance Armstrong sack fumble that a Falcons lineman recovered. Don't forget about Jaden Daniels getting folded up like a chair.
I want to forget. I have to forget.
And just popping right up going, what are you guys so worried about? I don't understand.
He blew on me.
What do you mean PTSD? I don't even know what you guys are talking about. My knee's fine. I'm Gumby.
Oof.
127 rushing yards later, the locals are in the win column. Playoff football.
Commanders feel
real. Fans. Second time in a decade. First time in my life, your life, Darius's life, Ryan's life, that we're old enough to celebrate 11 wins. Have yourself a Monday night. Let's go have a postseason, people.
Let's do it.
Thank you for coming.